استووا أقيموا صفوفكم واعتدلوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخدود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أإذا متنا وكنا تراب وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمانئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون يعلمون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا الله فيما أعطيت. نستغفرك من كل ذنوب وخطايا ونتوب إليك. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات، والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك، اللهم أيدهم بجبريل. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من كيد الغاصبين. اللهم أعد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين المظلومين في كل مكان، خصوصا فلسطين، خصوصا فلسطين، خصوصا فلسطين. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، نسألك أن تحفظ المسجد الأقصى، نسألك أن تحفظ المسجد الأقصى، نسألك أن تحفظ المسجد الأقصى، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في فلسطين، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في غزة، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في العراق، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في إيران، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في اليمن، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في بورما، نسألك أن تحفظ المسلمين في كشمير. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، نسألك أن تحفظ المسجد الأقصى من كيد الكائدين وعدوان المعتدين. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك، وبعفوك من عقوبتك، وبك منك لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
inshallah, after the remaining Salah Mufti Saab's program will be taking place. Inshallah, dua ke baad Mufti Adam Saab ke program ho gaya. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ذا الجلال والكرام اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم بك أصبحنا وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور نعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شرها من كل ما خلق رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانه سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم عنا على ذكرك والشكر وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الخاتمة ونعوذ بك من سوء الخاتمة اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى وسائر بلاد المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في فلسطين وفي غزة وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاد منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وإليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Brothers, come forward and form a halaqa, please. Jazakumullah khairah. If you can make a circle, please, inshallah, and join the halaqa. Jazakumullah khairah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Can we have everyone in a circle? So we're almost there, inshallah. Let's completely circle this halaqa. Those against the walls, can you come and join us, please? Inshallah. Otherwise, you'll start your own gathering there at the back. We have one gathering, mashallah. One gathering for one purpose. Have a little bit of movement over here as well, just fill in the gaps. Shall we let these brothers in, the ones at the back? Make a bit of space for them. MashaAllah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. MashaAllah, may Allah reward you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your lives with barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everybody. All the brothers, all the sisters, all the children, anybody who's following us from anywhere, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the difficulties from your lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ease and aafiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us on sirat al-mustaqim. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most important thing, when our final moments come in this life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave the dunya with iman, with Islam, with la ilaha illallah. This is the most important thing. And this is why we are making all of this struggle. Alhamdulillah, today, although we have this gathering every single week, so the first pledge I'm going to take from you all is just like you've attended today, make the intention, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. You're going to be here every single Sunday, inshallah. Everyone make an intention, inshallah. So we've had more than 2.5 years this gathering's been taking place on a weekly basis, every single Sunday. And it's only possible because of you guys. As long as you keep coming, inshallah, we can continue this. And alhamdulillah, it's a great support and a great sacrifice from the masjid team as well, for them to facilitate this every single week as well. Not just for us to sit here, but then to serve everybody breakfast accordingly, and they stay right till the end. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them as well. And all the brothers and all the sisters and all the children who make it possible. May Allah give us a tawfiq. So this what's coming around now, this is Palestinian tea. If you've been to Masjid al-Aqsa, one of the things in Fajr, when you go for Fajr, one of the things you'll be served is Palestinian tea. If you go and it's not there, don't come and blame me. Okay? It is there a lot of the time, but some days, maybe it's not. One of the times we went and it wasn't there, and we found out that one of the people who was serving the tea had passed away. So they were obviously in mourning. That's why he wasn't there. So it's usually there. And enjoy your tea, inshallah. So, we've been following the news. We've been seeing what's happening. And before we have our lesson for today, and then inshallah, we're going to invite Sheikh Saleh. We're very fortunate what we have. Alhamdulillah. Our guest from Palestine, we couldn't go there, so Palestine has come to us, alhamdulillah. So we'll get a chance to meet him, inshallah, afterwards and make salam as well. So, specifically, what I want to touch on today is, we've seen many images, we've seen many videos, we've heard the news, we've been constantly glued to it for the last, 47 days, right? 47 days. And there's one particular image that's kind of ingrained in my head. And that is the father, and I'm sure most of you have seen this, the father is holding his daughter, right? He's holding his daughter up. He's got an imam on, and he's holding his daughter, and he's talking to her. And he's opening one eye, and then he opens the other eye, and he's kissing her, he's embracing her. And what we have to learn from these people is sabr. One of the things that you learn from seeing these scenes, what we're hearing from people is, we've been Muslims, we've been reading Quran all our life, we've been reading the Hadith all our life, but the understanding of some of the Quranic verses that we are getting over the last few days, it's like the Quranic ayah has just been revealed. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ. You can see, you can actually see, when Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. You know, even Palestinians in Gaza are shocked. There was a guy, he's driving in a car, he's sticking himself out of the window, and he's saying, I just don't have words to describe. Total demolition, total destruction, total just massacre. Ethnic cleansing, everything has been bombed. But as soon as yesterday they announced they're going to stop for a short while, thousands and thousands and thousands of Palestinians, knowing that there's nothing left of their homes, they're still going up to the north. Because they're going in buses, they're going in cars, they're going on bicycles, they're going on motorbikes, they're going walking. They know there's nothing there, but they are going. And he himself, being a person of Gaza, he says, I have no words to describe. He says, this is sumud. This is sabr. This is our people. He goes, our sha'ab, our people, he goes, they're just another type of people altogether. You know, when you and me face one kind of difficulty, something's small, and I don't want to be here to trivialize anyone's problems. You know, we kind of just like give up forever. We don't want to know. We don't want to talk to that person. We don't want to go in that room again. We don't want to think about it. That's it. And we go around telling everybody, you know what? My life's hell. Nothing's going wrong right for me. It's just messed up now. I can't be bothered now. I'm just going to give up. And the thing is, we think the meaning of sabr is when you face a difficulty, you're patient. What we think patience mean is you just sit down in a corner and that's it. You don't do anything. You don't say anything. This is not sabr. Sabr is an Arabic word. Sabr doesn't just mean patience. This is the important thing. It's what I wanted to highlight. Sabr doesn't just mean patience. We always translate sabr as patience. Sabr isn't just patience. Sabr is much more than patience. And we're going to be able to see this now practically in the lives of people. Sabr means discipline. Sabr means more than patience. Sabr means endurance. It means endurance. That despite something happening, yes, you're patient, but you continue. You keep going. You keep moving. The ulama mentioned sabr is of three types. One is sabr ala al-musiba. You face a calamity, a difficulty, and you make sabr. Then you have sabr anil ma'asiyah. There's a particular sin, and you stay away from that sin. You want to do it. You want to do it. But you stay away. And you continue staying away. And you continue. This is sabr. This is a high level of sabr. Just like a lot of people nowadays are boycotting things. Okay? So we should also be focusing on boycotting sins. Boycotting the disobedience of Allah. Because if we boycott all the products, but we don't boycott the sins, then we're not going to attract the mercy of Allah. We need both. So just like we're doing one, this is very important. Rather, this is an obligation. And then you have sabr ala ta'ah. Sabr on doing the right thing. What does it mean, sabr on doing the right thing? Sometimes we feel like doing it. Sometimes we don't feel like doing it. On those days when you don't feel like doing it, but to still do it, to continue doing it, to continue every single day. That man who's holding that child up, he hasn't given up. Does he look like he's given up? He's faced the worst tragedy in his life. Do you know how it feels to lose one child? How does it feel to lose a child? Only the person who's gone through this will know. And then to lose not one, but multiple children, all your house, all your belongings, everything you've ever known, your whole city has been razed to the ground. And despite that, to say that we are never, ever going to give up, we're going to continue. This is sabr, endurance. I'm going to share with you a story about a woman. And this is an everyday story in Palestine. And we can learn sabr. We can learn endurance. That these are people, it's not a new story. This didn't start a few weeks ago. This is something that's ongoing for the last 75 years. And this is the normal everyday story that happens in Palestine. Whether it be in Jerusalem, whether it be in the West Bank, and now we're talking about Gaza as well. All over, these things are continuing to happen. There was a lady, and she's driving. She's driving from Jericho to Jerusalem. She lives in Jerusalem in Jabal al-Mukabbir. Those of you who've been know what I'm talking about. So she's driving. In the car, she has her four-year-old son. She went and did some shopping, and she's driving now. As she's driving, there were some problems with her car, a technical error. Her car was playing up, and it already stopped two times on the road. And as she comes closer to Jerusalem, she passes one of the settlements called Ma'al Adumim, one of the largest Israeli illegal settlements there. And then as she comes towards, well, just before the checkpoint actually, Zaim checkpoint, she's still a while away, still 500 meters away. Her car starts playing up, and it starts making noises. And there's fumes coming out, and there's a technical error. So when she realizes this, she stops the car, and she thinks, let me come out and get some help. So she tries to open the door to ask for help. Unfortunately, should I say, at that time, there were some Israeli police there. And she's asking for help. and they can see that the car isn't working. Instead of helping her, what happens? Now it's become so severe that it started to flame up and smoke up. The car has it's smoked up now. It's on fire. Instead of helping her, the police officer comes and he shuts the door onto her. Half of her hand is stuck in the door and the rest is inside and the car is in flames. He can see, not just him, but the people around can see that she is burning inside. But they don't stop. They watch her and they allow it to continue. And some reports even mention that as she drove closer, they even tried to shoot towards the car. In her car, she was carrying a gas cylinder. And now you will see in Gaza where people are going, waiting to collect these gas cylinders. Why? Just to use the stove at home, to cook, to do anything. So there was an explosion now. She's in the car. And while she's in the car, there's an explosion. And what happens as a result of this? She is now on fire. A woman on fire. Initially, the news that came out is there was a car accident. From there, of course, she's taken to the Hadassah Hospital. Do you know what happens to this lady? This lady, because of the burns, the severe burns, 60% of her body has burnt. 60%. It could have been avoided, but it was done intentionally. Instead of helping, they let her burn. 60% of her body is in flames. She's lost 8 of her fingers. If you look at her, her bones are exposed. Her face has fully melted. Her ears have stuck to her face. Her nose has stuck to her face. She needs 8 major surgeries. Do you know what they did? They let her in hospital for a while, and then they sent her to jail and prison. They twisted the story and said, no, she was going to go and she was going to attack somebody. She was going to cause a problem, and we're going to say that she needs to go to... 11 years sentence she's been given. 11 years. And she's been deprived of any sort of medical treatment. She needs 8 major surgeries. 8. Because she's got 60% of her body has burnt. Major burns. First degree, second degree, third degree burns. She lost 8 of her fingers. She can't eat with her hands. She can't pick anything up. Her armpits have stuck to her body as well. Because everything's just melted. Imagine that, 60% of your body. 11 years in prison. And people from international human rights have been fighting and campaigning for this lady to be freed. Her son was only 4 years old at the time. This happened in 11th October 2015. How long has it been? 8 years. 8 years in prison. Do you know if there was somebody who was going to give up, it should have been this lady, Isra Ja'abis. She would have given up. Do you know, you and I, we come for a few weeks, we go to 1 or 2 marches. Yesterday there was a march in London. 2 weeks ago there was a march in London. MashaAllah, 1 million people went. 2 weeks ago, yesterday there was a march. I don't even think half the people went. Because we think, we've been to one, why should we go to another one? We've come once, why should we come again? We've done one petition, why should we do another one? I've made dua once, why should I do it again? If there was anybody who would give up, it should have been this lady in the prison. Because her life is turned upside down. She can't see her son came to visit her after 1 year. He doesn't recognize his mother. He doesn't recognize her. Her face is totally disfigured. Whereas this woman, when I saw Sheikh Saleh, I remembered from Susu. This woman, they would call her Susu. Susu in Palestine is a name they give to someone who's a clown, who makes people laugh. And she would actually go into the children's hospital and she would put on a clown costume and bring a smile to the people and make people laugh. And this is the same woman that in Palestine, people would nickname her, they would call her Baba Noel. In our language, it means Santa Claus. Why? Because she always carried a sack full of toys and gifts for children. Wherever she went, she brought smiles to the people. A soft-hearted, kind-hearted, gentle woman whose life has been turned upside down by the occupation. And she was sentenced to prison, denied. She needs 8 major surgeries still today. And she was denied in the prison. My question is this: if anybody was going to give up, it should have been this woman. But do you know what she did? She didn't. In the prison cell, despite her condition, She started teaching. She started educating the women around her. She started with whatever help and support, creating little things, toys, sending letters, even though she can't write. She's doing whatever she can, in whatever means she can. And she's tried to uplift the spirits of the rest of the people who are there. You know, before all of this happened, there are more than 5,000 Palestinians in Israeli jails, many of them without any charge. Many of them. This is the duty of every Muslim. You know, it's a duty for you to eat and to drink and to look after your children and to pray. Well, releasing the prisoners globally, wherever they are, whether they be in Saudi, whether they be in Egypt, whether they be in Palestine. This is also, we never speak about this. But this is a responsibility. How can your Muslim brother, your Muslim sister be rotting away in a prison and they're totally innocent? There's no charge. There's absolutely no charge. If there was a charge, they'd put them on trial. This is some kind of administrative detention that just doesn't end. Yes, you want to hold somebody for one day. You want to question them. They're either going to be guilty or not guilty. You let them go. But this is without charge, just keeping hold of people. 11 years she's been given. And yesterday, when they're speaking about the prison deal and the swap, on the list of people, one of the names that appear is this lady, Isra Jaabis. Her name appears. She didn't know she's going to be released. Her name is on there. And she's released. Before her release, the occupation police go. They attack her house, attack her family. They tell them that, look, she's coming home. No celebrations. Don't welcome her. You're not allowed. Before she's even come, they started attacking. You're not allowed to do anything. Don't welcome her. Don't call the press. Don't even sit here. Nothing at all. Anyhow, she comes eventually. This is last night. She walks into her home and all the news reporters are there. Of course, they're going to be. They're looking for news as well. So the news reporter comes and it's a lady and she's asking her a question. She says, how relieved are you? How happy do you feel? This is a moment to celebrate. This is a moment to celebrate because you've come out of the prison. You know what she said? She said, Nakhjal an nafrah wa Falastin jariha. This is what she said. Nakhjal an nafrah wa Falastin jariha. She says, I feel ashamed and embarrassed to rejoice whilst the whole of Palestine is wounded. She's saying, this is not about me. If anybody was going to give up, it would have been this woman. That she would have given up. She would have said, you know what, my life is turned upside down. But look at the endurance. Look at the sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to continue. They know they are innocent. They haven't done anything. And despite that, having to go through so much. So whilst we are here, this cause is for each and every one of us. Look at the state of Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa, since the last 47 days, nobody can go inside Masjid al-Aqsa unless you're 70 years old or over and you live within the old city of Jerusalem. And last week I shared with you how there are many people of that age approaching the gates of Masjid al-Aqsa being pushed away. That no, you can't even go. And whilst this is happening, inside Masjid al-Aqsa we are having the right-wing settlers going in their large numbers, carrying out their Talmudic worship, dancing, provocative moves, and saying that, you know, this is now in our hands. On the beach of Gaza, one of the soldiers, IDF soldiers, had written this in the sand, that Temple Mount is now ours. But it'll never be, because we know Masjid al-Aqsa will be free, inshallah. Say inshallah. Masjid al-Aqsa will be free. Palestine will be free. The question is not, is Masjid al-Aqsa going to be free? Is Palestine going to be free? That's not the question. Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine, it doesn't need us. It doesn't need me. It doesn't need us. Wallahi al-Azim, this cause does not need me. It does not need you. We need it. We need it. Because on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask me, He's going to ask you. This is. Do you know how they're being tested? In some degree, the ulama mentioned our test is even greater. The people of Palestine and Gaza are being tested. You can see that. And they're doing very well. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا. You can see. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. Just think, if I was there in that situation, what would you do? Allah says, there are some people from the mu'mineen. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. They made a promise to Allah, they stick to it. They stick to it. No matter what happens. Rain or shine, bombs or bomb blast, they're saying, this is our land, we're going to remain here, nobody will take us out. And we're doing this, why? For the protection mainly of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So, the question is now for you and me. It's been this many days. Alhamdulillah, everyone has done whatever they can within their capacity. Remember, staying within the framework of the Sharia, staying within the framework of the law. We do whatever we can, but it's not a time to give up. This is not a time for us to say, oh, I've had enough now, that's it. No, it's a time to continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So inshallah, we'll have our lesson for today. What lesson number is it? Have a look. So it's week 102. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What do you know about Masjid al-Aqsa, lesson 24? We are discussing the Islamic history of Jerusalem, and this is part 4 of the Islamic history of Jerusalem. Last week we spoke about the Umayyad Caliphate, the Umayyad period. We're moving on now to the Abbasid and the Fatimid period, which then led to the Crusader occupation as well. The study of Masjid al-Aqsa's history during the Abbasid and Fatimid eras primarily revolves around the archaeological investigation into its reconstruction. Basically, during that period, the Abbasid period and the Fatimid period, there was a lot of reconstruction work that takes place inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Why? Because in Palestine, in Jerusalem in particular, there was a lot of earthquakes that were occurring. Every year, there was an earthquake happening. So mainly, a lot of damage was caused, mainly to Musalla Qibli. So Musalla Qibli faces a lot of damage annually because of the earthquakes. And mainly because the earth underneath it is not a natural rock, because the ground is sloping. Remember, we've been discussing. If you've got, for example, where the chandelier is, imagine that's the Dome of the Rock up there, high. Because the Dome of the Rock is on a rock, right? And the rock is the highest place in Masjid al-Aqsa. By the time you come to the Qibla side, imagine the building's not there. By the time you come to the Qibla side, it's sloping, it's a mountain. It goes like this. So it's very, very low. Take the building out of your head. The Musalla Qibli, imagine it's not there. Imagine a mountain sloping all the way down towards the front. So on this end, will be very, extremely low. Now what the Umayyads did was, they built, Umar radiallahu anhu, he built a musalla, what we would call today underground, not where it is now. Many people make the mistake of saying that Musalla Qibli is the musalla of Umar radiallahu anhu. This is incorrect. This is not true. Why? Because this level didn't exist. The level didn't exist. It's a natural mountain sloping. And the ground at that time, during the Sahaba's time, was much, much lower. So where we go underneath, this is where Umar radiallahu anhu makes a musalla out of wood. Can accommodate 1,000 people. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu comes. And then he rebuilds it out of stone. Expands it and it can have 3,000 people. And then Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, they build what we now call, just one of the areas is Musalla Marwan. It's a new name, came in 1996. But they built from one end, from the east of Masjid al-Aqsa till the west of Masjid al-Aqsa, an underground basement. And they lift it, and they make it higher. Why? Because they want to build on top. What do they want to build on top? Musalla Qibli. And when they build Musalla Qibli, how many aisles does it have? We spoke about it last week. 15 aisles. How many aisles are there to Musalla Qibli today? There's 7 aisles. Meaning, the original Musalla Qibli was double the size of what it is today. So what happens now during the Abbasid period is, because of the earthquakes, they start carrying out renovation works. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur carried out a restoration of Musalla al-Qibli, and then Khalifa al-Mahdi. What we learn is, the current Musalla Qibli that you can see, this is from the Abbasid period. We're going back about 1200 years. The current Musalla Qibli that you see is from the Abbasid period. And Khalifa Ma'mun, when he completed this construction of Musalla al-Qibli, how many aisles did we say? 15 aisles. Double the size of what it is today. He even minted the first coin in Jerusalem. And on this coin, you know what it said? It said Al-Quds. The first time in history Jerusalem was called Al-Quds is in the time of the Abbasid Khalif, Khalifa Al-Mahdi. Celebrating the restoration of Musalla Qibli, he makes these coins. Now in Jerusalem at that time, you've got coins. And on the coin, what does it say? Al-Quds, for the first time. Before this, nobody called Jerusalem Al-Quds. It was called Ilia. People would call it Ilia Capitolina. Even the time of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are some hadith that say Masjid Ilia. But now it's called Al-Quds. And from that time onwards, Muslims refer to Jerusalem as Al-Quds. This was done by Khalifa al-Ma'mun in the Abbasid period. Then came the Fatimid period. During the Fatimid period, there was a lot of earthquakes. And in particular, one earthquake damaged the Musalla Qibli so much, the Khalifa at the time, his name was Az-Zahir. Az-Zahir li'i'zazillah. He decided that every year we are fixing the Musalla Qibli. And there's so much damage. We don't have that much money. So why don't we reduce it? So four aisles from one end, he said, let's just destroy them totally. Let's take them out. So he took out four aisles from one side, four aisles from the other side. Now, if you look at Musalla Qibli, it's only seven aisles. And if you look carefully, you will see there are columns and pillars put on the other side. Before it was four on that side, four on the other side. It would have been much bigger, double the size of what it is today. Today, the Musalla Qibli can comprise about 4,500 people in there. But still, it's only 3.1% of Masjid al-Aqsa. 3.1%, because Masjid al-Aqsa is 144,000 square meters of land. The capacity is 500,000 people if everybody was to be squashed together. Musalla Qibli is only a small part, 3.1% of the whole Masjid al-Aqsa. Keep this in mind. So now what happens is, during the Fatimid time, there was a lot of civil fighting within the Muslims. The Fatimids first started persecuting the Ahlul Kitab. They started persecuting them. They started torturing them. And then they said, okay, it's fine. They even destroyed the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The Fatimids, they destroyed the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And then afterwards they said, okay, no worries. We won't disrespect you anymore. So the Ahlul Kitab and the people of the book, they gave them rights. They said, you can come back. You can rebuild the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And now instead, they're starting attacking the Muslims. Now, when things like this happened, there was a lot of instability during the Fatimid period. When this started to happen, the Muslims started to become weak. And weakness came in the Muslim because of the infighting that was going on. Because of the caliphate wasn't up to standard. And due to this, what happens is for 25 years, this weakness continued. And after the weakness came into the Muslims, and because the Fatimid Caliph also instructed for the destruction of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Pope Urban II, he saw an opportunity. He got the Crusaders together. And he said, look what's happening over there. Your Christians are being persecuted. They weren't being persecuted. It was a lie. So Christians are being persecuted. In the name of religious fanatism, Christian religious fanatism, in Europe, Pope Urban II, he gets together all of the people using or misusing religion. I say misusing religion. In the name of this, he said, come on, let's go and support the cause of the Christ. Let's go and kill all of the infidels, referring to the Muslims and anyone who wasn't a Christian. We've got William, the Bishop of Tyre. He actually said, go forth and let the Lord be with you, directing your arms to turn away from each other and towards the enemies of God and the adversaries of Christ. Let us absolve the sins of the faithful Christians who take up arms to fight the unbelievers. And we know exactly what happens. The Crusaders, they arrive. They come to the areas. And the Seljuks, they sided with the Abbasids. The Fatimids decided to go and go from the south of Jerusalem. And in that time, the Crusaders came from the north. And when they came from the north, they came all the way to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, and especially inside Masjid al-Aqsa, most of the ulama, the sulaha, the zuhad, the ascetics, the religious people, they thought to themselves, if we come to Jerusalem, and if we go inside Masjid al-Aqsa, these people who are coming, they are Christians. They will respect the holy city. Because Jerusalem and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is the holiest place for Christians. So if we're inside, they won't touch us. They won't do anything because we understand they are religious people, so we are safe over here. You had thousands of people seeking amnesty inside Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. But when the Crusaders came, led by Tancred and Godfrey, they surrounded Jerusalem. They severed the coastal connections and they laid siege. Now, at that time, the Khalifa, what he did, the Fatimid Caliph, he hid inside a tower. He was hiding. He didn't come out. He should have come out and he should have supported and helped the Muslims and spoken to the Crusaders. But he hid. And then he colluded and allied with the Crusaders. And then from there secretly escaped towards Ashkelon now. And then from there to Egypt and he ran. And sadly, he started working with the Crusaders. Now, Jerusalem is open to the hands of the Crusaders. There's nobody there to protect. The Archbishop of Tyre, William, he provides himself a harrowing account of the Crusaders' attack on Jerusalem. This is what they say. They are writing this. They swarm through the streets and squares. Their swords drawn and shields and helmets are ready, slaughtering all enemies they encountered without regard to age or status. The massacre spread terror everywhere. Decapitated heads. This is probably where they get it from when they're talking about decapitated babies. This is what they did. Decapitated heads. I'm reading from their account. Accumulated in every corner, making it impossible to move from one place to another without stepping over bodies. Many sought refuge in Masjid al-Aqsa, but this did not save them. Tancred followed them in, and the sight of dead was overwhelming. The sight of so many dead bodies was appalling, with human remains strewn everywhere, and the ground drenched with blood. Other soldiers roamed the city searching for survivors who were dragged out and slaughtered like sheep. Some stormed into homes, seizing and executing entire families or throwing them to their deaths from high places. This is what they have written in their history regarding what they did to the Muslims that were inside. And not just Muslims. Orthodox Christians. Anyone who was an Orthodox Christian was also attacked and expelled as well. At that time, there were 70 Jews in Jerusalem. They decided, let us go into one of the synagogues. Because under Muslim rule, Muslims, Christians, Jewish people lived in peace and harmony. Study the history, you will find. When Muslims were ruling, it was perfect. There was never a problem. Everybody lived, everybody respected each other. So they ran into 70 Jews ran into a synagogue thinking, we are safe over here, we are protected. You know what the Christian crusaders did? When they realized they were in there, they set fire to the synagogue and they burnt all of them alive. They burnt them alive. They even expelled the Orthodox Christians as well because they were following a different type of Christianity. And then what happens is as soon as their conquest was finished, they set up their emirates in Levant, in Asham, and they desecrated Masjid al-Aqsa. They converted the Dome of the Rock into a chapel, into a church. Musalla Marwani, which we call today, they made into a stable. Musalla al-Qibli, half of it they made into a chapel, half of it into offices, half of it into rooms for the Templar Knights. And this continued, this sad state continued. For 88 years, they killed 70,000 Muslims inside Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The Crusaders write themselves, the bodies of the Muslims were knee-high. You couldn't walk in the streets. Blood was flowing everywhere. No adhan, no salah in Masjid Al-Aqsa for 88 years until the Muslims came together. They united and they realized that we need to work towards the liberation. And we know the story from there onwards where Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi comes. But Salahuddin didn't become Salahuddin overnight. Before Salahuddin was Nuruddin, before Nuruddin was Imaduddin, before Imaduddin there were other people. So whether the liberation happens in your time or not, that's not what Allah is going to ask you. Allah is going to ask you, what did you do within your capacity to work towards this cause? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Jazakumullahu khairan. And now inshallah I'm going to ask our brother Saleh inshallah to come and share a few words. Adil Bhai, wherever you are, if you can change the settings.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, all thanks due to Allah Azza wa Jal, that mashallah, coming to this masjid mashallah, and give a talk regarding Masjid Al-Aqsa and the fada'il of Masjid Al-Aqsa. This is a great opportunity for myself to be sharing with the brothers. So this is not even my first trip to England, and inshallah will be not the last trip. And every time I've been coming here, I've been talking with the people regarding Fada'il Masjid Aqsa. But this time I come in a way to meet and greet. This is what we call it. And though there's not any speech I've been giving, and this is not going to be a speech, it's going to be only very short reminder of the Fada'il of Masjid Aqsa, where because I haven't spoken any of the place where I've been going so far, coming to London, going to Manchester, coming to this place, and inshallah go towards the side of Manchester, inshallah. Just to make the people remind of Masjid Aqsa, because for those that have been to Masjid Aqsa, they know who Sheikh Saleh, as Sheikh Adam was saying, subhanallah. As I'm the manager of Hashimi Hotel, and I've been working there for the last 28 years, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we've been welcoming the people that they come from England and they come from all over the world. Remind them of the Fada'il of Masjid Aqsa. And though you know what's going on there, and only we pray inshallah that Allah Azza wa Jal will make the situation come down, and inshallah where you can come and visit Masjid Aqsa, because the whole reason of visiting Al-Quds to visit Masjid Aqsa. And the Fada'il of Masjid Aqsa, and where always we try to make the people remembering where the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioning in the Holy Quran, Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been ordered our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be traveling from Mecca towards al-masjid al-aqsa. Our ulama and our scholars say, in order for him to connect Masjid al-Haram with Masjid al-Aqsa. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing his tawaf around the Mecca, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send al-Buraq, where our ulama and our scholars say al-Buraq between a horse and a donkey. And then he went into that with Jibreel alayhi salam, and he traveled. So when he traveled towards Masjid al-Aqsa, he saw Mawlid Isa alayhi salam, where Nabi Isa alayhi salam was born. And he saw Qabri Musa. Ra'aytu akhi Musa fi qabrihi qa'iman yusalli 'inda al-katib al-ahmar. I saw where the qabr of Musa alayhi salam. So he saw this as well. Then our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he landing in al-Masjid al-Aqsa. So where our ulama and our scholar continue saying this, he went and he tied that buraq. He haven't left it. He went and he tied al-buraq, and then he walking with Jibreel alayhi salam. Remember one thing, where there's so many people doesn't know this. You know, if I am allowed to go and give a speech, yani if I'm coming for this reason, in this moment of time, we should learn the fada'il of Masjid Aqsa. Before anything else, we should learn the fada'il and what's the importance of Masjid Aqsa. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was traveling to Masjid Aqsa, was a night. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. What the meaning? Was night. Huh? So now he landing and he tie his buraq, and now he's working towards the masjid. So when he was working towards the masjid, Jibreel alayhi salam was with him. So as soon as he came and he opened the gate and he came in, he saw so many people inside. He go, Ya Jibreel, oh Jibreel, man ha'ula, who they are? So Jibreel then respond, this is all the anbiya. Was Ibrahim there, alayhi salam? Was Jibreel there? Were Hud there? Were Musa there? So many anbiya. You're talking about 124,000 nabi. So when you come to Masjid Aqsa, you're coming to the land of the anbiya, my brothers, huh? And sisters, as Mawlana say, he can hear me as well. You're not coming to any place. You're coming to such an important place where our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he walked inside with Jibreel alayhi salam. Istawu. They are in saf. They are in line. Not people like me and you. Anbiya alayhim salam. Allahu Akbar. our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now he's reading the salah. I'm mentioning this, my brothers. Then after the salah being finished, he was offered the drink, and then our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chose the milk, and after he drained the milk, now he need to do his mi'raj. So he went towards the Dome of the Rock area, and he done his mi'raj with Jibreel alayhi salam. So he went to the first heaven. Man ha'ula ya Jibreel? Some of the anbiya he meet. Then he went to the second heaven. Man ha'ula ya Jibreel? He meet also some of the anbiya. And he reached the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. Then as soon he reached the seventh, he meet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Qal ya Jibreel, man ha'al? Qal hada al-Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then he saw 70,000 of angel, malaika, yatufun, they're doing tawaf in the seventh heaven. Where all that took place, my brothers and sisters? All that took place inside Masjid Aqsa. Then our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went also more farther, where Jibreel alayhi salam couldn't go with him. He reached Sidratul Muntaha. What the meaning of Sidratul Muntaha? He reached the higher point. Huh? Where there's no more farther than this. This is the karamat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Huh? He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, from where he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Was from Masjid Aqsa. The salah became fard where? When in Masjid Aqsa, when he took his mi'raj. Huh? Then he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he was ordered to be and to ya'mur qawmahu fi 50 salah. 50 salah. So when he came down in the sixth heaven, he saw Musa alayhi salam. So he asked him, what happened? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been ordered you? Qal 50 prayers. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam then told him, I have experience with this. People cannot afford this. You have to go back and try to release it. So then our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went back. And then the salah became released, I think, to 40, around this. Then he came down and he see Nabi Musa alayhi salam. He said to him, what happened? He goes, the salah being released to 40. He goes, people cannot afford to go back. So he was going back and forth till he made them 5 prayers. So on the way back, he saw Nabi Musa alayhi salam. He go, what happened? He go, I make them 5 prayer. He go, no, people cannot go back. قال إني أستحي من ربي. I'll be shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go back. Huh? So, the fada'il of Masjid Aqsa, my brothers, where there's so many things for those people that they come and the sad thing they go, we've been there. No, you should go there all the time. As subhanAllah, you have the ability to go to Umrah, huh? Every time you have that opportunity, you should also come to Masjid Aqsa. Masjid Aqsa and the dua inside Masjid Aqsa. Where there's so many of our ulama, Sheikh Adel can correct me if I'm wrong, that so many ulama of us saying that dua inside Masjid Aqsa is accepted. Where the mihram of Maryam alayhi salam was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send her fruit with unseason. Huh? With unseason, Allah used to send her that fruit. So Zakariya alayhi salam, he used to go past through her. And he used to say, Ya Maryam, when he used to see that fruit by here with unseason, Ya Maryam, Anna laki hada, where that come to you from? She responded, that come to me from Allah. Kullama dakhala alayha Zakariya al-mihrab, wajada indaha rizqa, qala ya Maryam, Anna laki hada, qalat huwa min indillah. Then Zakariya alayhi salam, in that moment of time, he was married for so many and he'd have no kids. So he went to his mihrab and he started praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his wife can have kids. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. And he gave him that bushra, that good news, that his wife, she's going to get pregnant. And that you're going to have a boy, and that boy also, he's going to be a Nabi. So many fada'il, so many things. When in Masjid Aqsa, there's so many history. When in Masjid Aqsa, Ardul Anbiya, the land of the Anbiya. In this moment of time, people cannot go and pray inside Masjid Aqsa. But always we should, inshallah, pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will remove this. And then people, inshallah, they'll start going to Masjid Aqsa. And you know, I remember during the time of COVID, I came here and I give here also some speech. As I went all over England, I was giving speech talking about the fada'il of Masjid Aqsa. I remember I was telling the people, Aqsa is closed now. And you cannot go to Masjid Aqsa. And as soon as Aqsa was open and the people start coming to Aqsa, and I start taking them around, I was telling the people, listen here, my brothers and sisters. Aqsa is open now. We can pray our salah. So we don't know when Aqsa is going to be closed. So as soon as you have the ability, come and pray there. Don't do anything, just come and pray there. Be nice and go home. Huh? This is what Allah order you. Huh? To come and pray there. To travel from wherever you are. Huh? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he say, hi'tuhu fasallu fi. He never came to come and do anything else. Come and pray and leave. Hi'tuhu fasallu fi. Come and do your salah there. Same things now, during the time of COVID. I will come and I will repeat it now. Aqsa is closed and we don't know when Aqsa is going to be open again. So my brother and sisters, wallahi al-azim, as soon you have that opportunity to go and pray there and enjoy the history of Masjid Aqsa, as there's so many history when in Masjid Aqsa, you will go and you will visit the area of Khalil alayhi salam. So many of history, so many of history of Anbiya. As our ulama and our scholars say, every single place when in the city, when around the city, Anbiya being walked there. When you are driving, every single area when around the area of the West Bank or wherever you're going to go, Anbiya could be leave there. Huh? Anbiya could be passed away and buried there. Huh? When we're talking about 124,000 Nabi that he was leaving when in the land of Masjid Aqsa, so that's a great opportunity, my brothers. So inshallah, we'll always pray and always will keep inshallah praying and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal inshallah will remove this. And Aqsa will be reopened again, inshallah. And you can come and visit it, inshallah. And we will see all of you there. And we can welcome you and take good care of you, inshallah. Jazakallah kul khair, Sheikh Adam, inshallah, for that talk. And reminding the people of Masjid Aqsa. And reminding the people of that holy place of Masjid Aqsa. And Masjid Aqsa always should be in our heart. Because whatever happened when in this world, all because that happened because of that Masjid, which is Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward you, my brothers and sisters, for turning up. And inshallah, keep doing this. And keep, inshallah, come and listen for the Fada'il of Masjid Al-Aqsa. And keep sharing with your family, with your neighbor, with your friend. Because there's so many people when around the whole world that they have no much of Fada'il of Masjid Al-Aqsa. So very important, we should learn the Fada'il of Masjid Al-Aqsa. And as soon we learn the Fada'il of Masjid Al-Aqsa, then Masjid Aqsa will be linked to our heart. Shuzakum Allah kul khair again and again. As our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Man la yashkur al-nas la yashkur Allah. May Allah reward Mufti Adam, mashaAllah, for the great things he do. May Allah reward Brother Firaz, the one he been driving me and he been taking good care of me, mashaAllah, since I came to this town. And inshaAllah, I will be going home. Just pray for me that inshaAllah I will be arriving home safe, well. And inshaAllah, we can welcome all of you in Masjid Aqsa and in the land of Al-Quds. Jazakum Allah kul khair. والسلام عليكم.
MashaAllah, جزاكم الله خيرا. جزاكم الله خيرا to Sheikh Saleh for coming and giving us the time. Alhamdulillah. Those of you who've been, you know who Sheikh Saleh is. Those of you who haven't, MashaAllah, he's the most famous tour guide in Jerusalem as well. So if you do end up going there, to Baitul Maqdis, to Palestine, especially if you go individually. Normally, if anybody asks me, I give Sheikh Saleh's number straight away. That you've got the best tour guide. He will look after you when you're going there, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, you've all attended this week. Make an intention now that we're going to continue. Everyone's going to carry on, inshallah. Okay, so we're going to give a few minutes now for Quranic recitation. Stay where you are. The Qurans will come to you, inshallah. Maybe for some of us, this is the only time we're getting to read Quran. We'll do some Quran, a bit of dhikr, and then dua, it'll be time for Ishraq, and after that breakfast will be served. Please take part, everybody, before you leave. And you'll get, Sheikh Saleh is with us. Inshallah, you'll get an opportunity to meet him once the session is over, inshallah, upstairs at breakfast. Jazakumullah khairan.